The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw a star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is the shepherd of my people, Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring word to me that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures. They offered gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
The word epiphany is a Greek word that means revelation, making something known, announcement, another word you can, you know, maybe replace it with. And when we think of Christmas, we think mostly Christmas about the birth of Jesus. That's part of it. But there is a second part to Christmas. It's not just about the birth of Jesus, but that God announcing the birth of his son to the whole world. Because if just Jesus was born and nobody knew about it, we wouldn't be here today. So God announced the birth of his son, started with Mary and Joseph. And Mary and Joseph represent the people of Israel who were righteous, who had the right relationship with God. So when God asked them to do something that was beyond their means or understanding, they said yes. Mary said yes. Joseph said yes to taking Mary as his wife, although she was pregnant. Being righteous means saying yes to God's will, because we know God is the God, we're not. So it's not what we want to be done, but doing what God wants us to do. Then we heard about God announcing the birth of his son to the shepherds. Now the shepherds were Jews too, but they were not necessarily the religious crowd. You know, shepherds tend to be wilder, they live outside in the fields. So God now announced the birth of his son as a savior to the whole Jewish people, those who were righteous and those who were not necessarily that religious. Today, God announced the birth of his son to the third and final group, to pagans. The Magi were not Jews, they come from the east, they were pagans, they didn't believe in the God of Israel, they probably worshiped different gods. Jesus came to save everyone, not only for the Jewish people, not only for the righteous people or the people of faith, he came to save everyone. And that's why it's important, the birth of Jesus, for all of us, because all of us need a savior. All of us are sinners. All of us are not in the right relationship with God. Jesus came to set us straight, to straighten all these broken lines that sometimes we experience in our lives, and to show us the way to heaven. And that's made available to everyone. No matter whether we're young and old, rich or poor, you know, religious or not religious, Christian or not Christian, Jesus came for everyone. And that's what we celebrate during this Christmas season, the announcement of the birth of our Savior. Today, we're going to look at this journey of those Magi, how they made their journey to find this newborn king. Like I said, a lot of times we represent them as kings. They're not kings. They worked in the palaces of kings. They were kind of the scientific community of their time. They advised the king about, you know, the stars and whether kings should start wars or whether when they should plant their crops, when should they harvest, whether there's going to be rain or it's going to be drought. That's what the service they provided for the kings wherever they were. So part of their experience or science was astrology, looking at the stars and kind of charting the stars and where they were at different seasons and then making conclusions to the kings about, well, when these stars are lined up this way, we're probably going to have a drought in the summer. And part of studying the stars, they saw this unique star that usually meant that a newborn king has been born, a king has been born. Now, God gave them that sign. Now, they saw that sign, and they decided they want to go and follow that star to see who is this newborn king. Now, what they decided to do was not an easy thing. It's not like they went to the airport, got on a plane, and flew to Jerusalem. It meant they had to convince their king to let them go. It meant they had to leave their family. It meant, you know, traveling was dangerous. It took a long time. And they did not know where they were going. They were going to follow the star. It's like an astronaut today telling his family, well, I'm going to go on this spaceship to space. I don't know where we're going. I don't know how long it's going to take. I'm going to leave you all behind, leave everything behind, and get on that spaceship. That's how dangerous and how unknown was that trip for them to take. And yet, they were curious enough that if a king is born, they wanted to take all of these, you know, make that journey, take these, you know, under those circumstances to find out who this king is. They were open. They didn't say, well, we don't care. We have a job with our king. What do we care about another king? They were searching for something. Obviously, their lives were not filled but what they were doing. And they were people of means, obviously, working for a king and the king depending on them. And yet, they were searching. They wanted to find this new king that was born. So they set on their journey. The star leads them to Jerusalem. And obviously, when they get to the capital, they go where, if you're a king is born, probably the king is in the palace. So they go to the palace, to King Herod, and say, where is the newborn king? Well, that's news to Herod. He said, what are you talking about? Obviously, he's more interested in this than these, you know, scientists who are, you know, certainly following a star. Because how can there be a king that he doesn't know about? He's not one of his sons. And here we see how science and faith comes together. The star doesn't lead them to Bethlehem. It leads them to Jerusalem. And Herod calls all the scholars of the law and says, where is this king of Israel supposed to be born? And again, through faith, through the words of the prophet, they tell him, well, the prophet says it's in Bethlehem. See, a lot of times today we think science and religion don't go together. Science and faith are meant to complement each other. Science cannot lead us to faith. Science will lead us to a point, and then we have to believe things based on faith, based on God's word that we have preserved for us over the centuries. So the Magi continue their journey. They go to Bethlehem. Unlike King Herod, unlike the scholars of the law who heard, you know what's going on, they don't even bother to make a 5-mile trip to Bethlehem to see what's going on. Now, if you're one of those magi and you get to Bethlehem and this is like a regular house and it doesn't look like a palace, there's no soldiers around, and you're thinking, how can a king be born in such a place? And they go in and they see Jesus with Mary. And suddenly all their perceptions of what they were supposed to, expecting to find, is turned upside down, and yet they believe that this baby lying in a manger is a king. That's what we call an encounter with Christ. It's an encounter with love. The atmosphere in that room between the Blessed Mother and the baby Jesus must have been so potent in love that they realize there's something different here. It's not about, you know, how the baby is dressed or what kind of bed he's lying in. And although it's not what they expected, they prostrate themselves. They worship this newborn king and present him with this gift, the gifts that were they meant to bring to him. Our response when we encounter God, when we encounter that love in our daily lives, is to worship God, to thank him for it. That's why we come to Mass. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we celebrate Easter. We come encounter with that unspeakable love where God shows us how much he loves us, that at Christmas he was born as one like us, and then Easter he died for us on our sins so that one day we can be born in heaven. The only response that we can give God is praise, is worship, thanking God. And then we're told that the Magi left by a different way. They didn't go back to Herod. It's easy for us to say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I encountered God's love in my life. You know, we just celebrated Christmas. But a lot of times we go back to the same old life that we were living. So what does it matter if we believe in Jesus and we encountered Christ and we still live the same way as if Jesus was never born? Encountering Jesus, encountering that love demands a response, and the response is do we begin to change our lives, to make our lives more in line with the life of love that Jesus showed us as an adult, to follow the path of love, the journey of love that he showed us so we can get to heaven, to the place of perfect love, not to go back and continue to live our lives as if nothing happened. That's when Christmas becomes just one day. One celebration, it's over. Easter is just one day. These encounters of God's immense, epic love for us are meant to change us, to help us to grow in love. But not only for us to grow in love, but also to share that love with others, to proclaim that Jesus is Lord, is Savior. You know, when we think of a star, we're thinking of the, you know, stars in the sky. But another word for the star or meaning for star today is to be a star, like a star of Hollywood, a sports star. The journey for us is not complete unless we become stars. Stars leading others to Jesus. Just like that first star led the Magi to Christ. That's when we become truly followers of Jesus, what we call missionary disciples. Our journey to heaven calls us to go on a journey, like the journey of the Magi, like Mary's journey, like Joseph's journey, like the journey of the shepherds. We have been entrusted, as St. Paul tells us, with that stewardship of grace. We've given this gift of faith, this gift of love that we receive at our baptism before even we understand your word or know what God is, where we can say the word God. We're giving this treasure, and that's what we're called to offer to God by sharing it with others, by proclaiming to others who this child is, who this person who died for us on the cross, and why, and how it's all about love. A God who's perfect love. And that's going to be our journey here at Holy Family that we're going to be focused on. A journey that have those four different thresholds or stages or points that, you know, are, you know, visible for us. Discovering Jesus, encountering Jesus, celebrating Jesus, and then proclaiming Jesus. And this is not like a linear journey. We go from one to the other and that's it. We can never discover God enough. We're talking about God here. We can encounter God every day of our life if we pay attention. And we need to grow in how we proclaim Jesus. A lot of us who are here, a lot of us Catholics, Christians, yes, we believe in Jesus. Maybe we encountered Christ in our lives. We come to Mass, we worship Christ, but we don't get to that last stage, proclaiming Jesus, being a star for the rest of the world. As parish leaders, our job is to help you, equip you, show you how you can become those stars. I'm sure if someone came to you and said, I'm going to be your agent, I'm going to make you a Hollywood star, you'll jump at it. We're going to make you stars of missionary disciples, fulfilling the mission that all of us will receive at our baptism, to be disciples of Jesus Christ, like God the Father who shared the good news with the world. We please our Father when we too share the good news of the birth of His Son with the rest of the world. So not just that the world will be saved, but that's how we continue in our journey of salvation. This is our goal for this new year. This is our goal for the next couple of years. And it starts by each one of you looking, where am I on this journey? Where do I need to grow? What do I need to do? Am I proclaiming Jesus? If you're still not proclaiming Jesus, sharing Jesus with family and friends, I'm not talking standing on the street corner and shouting at people, but sharing Jesus with family and friends, talking about Him, then somehow you need to go back and re-examine, did I encounter Jesus? Am I really in touch with God's love in my life? Do I celebrate Jesus enough? Do I know Jesus? That's why I said it's not a linear journey. We can be doing in different parts all at the same time. It starts by you praying for all of us as a community to make that journey, so that Holy Family will be known as a community of stars, missionary disciples of Jesus Christ. And then that you begin to look at your own journey, because the parish is each one of us. And the more of us are on this journey, then we as a community are making our way to heaven.